like this evening, with the Lord's help, to consider the words of verse 13, Acts chapter 4, and the 13th verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It wasn't that long ago that Peter, the Lord's disciple, had been following his master afar off. It wasn't that long ago that Peter had been intimidated by a maid into denying his Lord. It wasn't that long ago that that same disciple, when challenged, had denied his Lord with oaths and curses. It wasn't that long ago that Simon, the son of Jonas, denied ever having known the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Peter. Now behold the change that has taken place in Peter's life. And that change can be put down to the grace of God. See the change that grace has wrought in this man's life. From denying Christ, he's now declaring Christ. From disowning Christ, Peter is now defending the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, see what grace hath done in the life of Simon Peter. When put to the test here, we see that Peter is not ashamed to own his Lord now, nor to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. We see that Peter now labors in the power of Christ. Look at chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, regarding the impotent man, the man who was lame from his mother's womb. We read in verse 6, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There you have evidence of a man who labored in the power of Christ. Lives were changed through the ministry of Peter. This man's life was dramatically changed through the ministry of Peter and also of John. Peter now labored in the power of Christ. Peter also now lives to preach Christ. Look at verse 18 of chapter 3. "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Peter now loves to preach Christ. That's a tremendous change. And we note something else. Not only did Peter now labor in the power of Christ and live to preach Christ, we see that Peter now loves to promote. Peter now has a Christ-centered ministry. From those dark days of denying his Lord, denying ever knowing Jesus of Nazareth, Now we see the change that grace hath wrought. Grace now enables the Apostle Peter to labor and to live for Christ. And now he loves to promote Christ. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. Peter and John had been examined with regard to what had taken place in that man's life, namely the man who was born lame. And we read in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all," these are the words of Peter, "and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole." You'll notice that Peter did not promote himself. That's quite a change from what we have today, from these roaming evangelists, and they go about and they promote their own names. And they tell others what great men they are. And what great preachers they are. That's not what Peter did. And Peter was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. And a man who is filled with the Holy Ghost is a man who will promote Christ. Peter promoted the Lord Jesus. Peter said, "I had nothing to do with this man's healing. It was by him." It was by Christ. This man stands before you today whole. Peter, with the beloved disciple John, were bound to know that such Christ-centered preaching and having such a Christ-centered ministry was bound to stir up opposition. Disturbed the gates of hell. They disturbed the devil's crowd with their Christ-centered ministry. For the haters of the gospel ordered these two firebrands to be arrested. Verses 1 to 3, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and they were grieved." My, nothing has changed, has it? People are still, to this very day, grieved. It's the preaching of Christ that grieves them. It's the preaching of the cross that grieves them. They don't like the gospel of the blood. Give them another gospel. Give them the gospel of good works. Give them the gospel that tells them that all is well. Give them the gospel that tells them if they do the best they can, the Lord will look kindly upon them and will have mercy on them and bring them with him into heaven. That's the gospel that people want to hear today in the main. They're grieved to hear the gospel of Christ. And we find that those who heard the preaching of Simon, Peter, and John were grieved, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day they arrested them. Peter and John were not about to trim their seals. They were not about to pull any punches. They were not about to compromise. They were not about to water down their message. And when they stood before the members of the Sanhedrin, the next day, they declared unto the whole counsel of God. You see that in verses 8 to 12. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Peter proceeded to preach Christ. And he applied the word. We heard this past week about a minister of the gospel giving another minister, giving a charge to a minister and telling him not to preach over the heads of the congregation. Well, there is no way that Peter preached over the heads of this congregation. He preached directly to them. He applied the words. And when he preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, he told them that they were the ones who had taken Christ and crucified him. And he said to them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He applied the word, and he did it with great power and great effect. There was no compromise on the part of Peter. When the devil's crowd heard the preaching of Peter and John, we're told that they took note. They were startled. They were set back on their heels, as it were, because we read in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They couldn't believe that such words would come from unlearned and ignorant men. And then they said, or then it is said, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They calculated that this boldness, this power that Peter and John demonstrated in their preaching had come from the fact that Peter and John had dwelt with Christ. They had been with Jesus. And that's our subject for tonight. Dwelling with Jesus. Peter and John dwelled with Jesus. And as a result, they preached the word with great boldness. My, how we all need that Holy Ghost boldness. We need that boldness to stand for the Lord. Boldness to witness for the Lord. Boldness in the preaching of the word. Therefore, we need to dwell with Jesus. If we want this boldness, we need to dwell with Christ. We need to be with Jesus. Here we notice, first of all, the witness of the pair. Pair of disciples of the pair of apostles, Peter and John, being with Christ, really affected the lives and the labors of this pair of disciples. We cannot help but notice their companionship. What does it say? Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, even though we find here that Peter seems to have done most of the preaching, nevertheless, those who looked upon the two disciples were struck by their companionship, their oneness. Peter did most of the preaching, and yet we read, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, two very different men. Peter very impetuous. Peter who would run ahead and say things before he thought about what he was about to say. Peter full of zeal and vigor and life. John completely opposite. Oh, he loved the Lord as Peter loved the Lord. John, the beloved disciple. John, the one who we would gather from the Gospels, was more, had more of a quiet, disposition. It acquired her personality. Two very different men. And yet here we see their oneness. In fact, the Holy Spirit emphasizes the oneness of Peter and John. Look at chapter 3, dealing with this whole incident. Chapter 3 begins, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple." Verse 3, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple?" Verse 11, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John." And then we come into chapter 4 and in our text, "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," verse 19 of chapter 4, "But Peter and John answered." Five times. We have the two men coupled together, Peter and John. The Lord, through grace, had brought them together. He had called them from being fishermen and called them to be fishers of men. The Lord, through grace, had brought them together, and we see now from chapter 4 that the Lord, through grace, had bound them together. As we say, even though Peter did most of the preaching, yet John is not left out, and we see these two men are bound together. Here we have their companionship. Here we have their oneness. And what did the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees put this companionship down to? They linked it to their dwelling with Christ. They took knowledge of them that they had been with. Dear child of God, we will enjoy this oneness in this church while we dwell with Jesus. That's the fruit of dwelling with Christ. Companionship, fellowship, communion with God's people. It comes from dwelling with Christ. They said, or rather, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, when Peter and John had been with Jesus, they received from the Lord instruction about this matter, this oneness, this unity among God's people. The Lord had instructed them while they were with Jesus. More often than not, the cause of strife and division amongst the people of God and the body of Christ is pride and a lack of humility. If you look at the references here to the two disciples, we looked at five references. And on each occasion, Peter is named first. It's never John and Peter. It's always Peter and John. And so we can see here that Peter played a leading role. If you like, John was for this season of time was called upon to play second fiddle to Peter. But we can see that that didn't bother John, because he had been with Jesus and had received instruction from the Lord regarding oneness and unity amongst the people of God. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And And here you have the Lord instructing His disciples regarding this very matter. Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them. What was the reason for the strife, the division? Which of them should be accounted the greatest? There's pride. Not much humility there. Wanted to know who would be the greatest. They left the Lord out of their reckoning. They left the Lord out of their calculations. The Lord's the greatest. They wanted to know who would be the greatest. He said unto them, here's the Lord's instruction now. They had been with Jesus, and being with Jesus, they were now being taught. And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you he that serveth. My, the Lord knew how to deal with them. Notice what the Lord did in His instruction, in His teaching. He got their eyes of themselves and of one another, and He got their eyes on the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is saying, look at me. I serve. The Lord was saying, I have taken the humble place. So there's no need for any arguments or any strife or any division amongst you. There needs instead to be one. Don't look at yourselves and take pride in yourselves. Look to me. Follow my example. God's people dwell together in unity. It is a sign that they have been with Jesus. Here it is in Acts 4:13. It was a sign that they'd been with Jesus. That's what the priests and the Sadducees noticed. Peter and John labored together and worked together and preached together and witnessed together. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The Lord Jesus had told them in John 13, verse 34, that they love one another even as I have loved you. That was His teaching. That was His instruction. Evidently, Peter and John had learned teaching of Christ while they were with Him. And now here they are, laboring together. Then we see that Peter and John benefited from being with Jesus and the intercession of the Master. The pair of disciples were able to work together because the Lord had prayed for their unity. And this shows us the importance that the Lord Jesus Himself placed upon this matter, upon the matter of unity amongst the people of God. He prayed to that end. Turn to John 17. John 17, verse 11. The Lord Jesus is before His Heavenly Father in prayer. We read in verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The Lord was praying for unity amongst the people of God. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are. Verse 23, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know. That was the witness. That thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. See the fruit of this oneness? The Lord Jesus would be glorified in the world. The Lord Jesus would be glorified. And the Lord Jesus interceded on the behalf of the disciples and prayed for that oneness amongst the people of God, that the Lord Jesus would be glorified in the world. And here the Lord is glorified through the ministry of Peter and John. They labored together, and the people who heard them and saw them took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus Christ as glorified. The Lord is glorified when God's people dwell together in unity. And then we notice also they benefited from the influence of the Master when they were with Jesus. They come under His influence. They were influenced by the Lord. He gave them an example to follow. They saw His oneness with His disciples. You consider the Lord Jesus, those 3 years or so that the Lord labored with His disciples. Note the oneness. In spite of their faults, in spite of their failings, in spite of their lack of faith at times, in spite of their stumblings, in spite of their foolishness, there was always that oneness. Always the oneness between the Lord and His disciples. He was often grieved of their lack of faith, often disappointed. But we find that there was always that oneness, even though one of His 12 was a devil, one who would betray Him. And the Lord knew from the beginning who would betray Him. But we see right up to the very end, none of the disciples suspected Judas. Surely that is a testimony to the oneness of Christ with His disciples. And here we have Peter and John, and they're serving the Lord with this oneness and this unity. They had evidently benefited from the influence of Christ, from being with believer, if we are with Jesus, if we are with Him in the Word, and we go through the Gospels and we read all about them, I just love reading the Gospels. I love preaching from the Gospels. Because they're all about the Lord Jesus, of course. His life and His labors, His ministry. My, if we are with Jesus, through the Word, then we'll know all about dwelling together. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We notice not only their companionship as a result of them being with Jesus. But we notice their conviction. Look at the text again. Now when they in the boldness of John, the word means freedom of speech. The word denotes openness. The word denotes confidence in speaking. It refers to a man standing up and preaching or speaking and speaking with confidence, believing what he is saying, believing what he is preaching. And here we see that the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees took knowledge. These men had been with Jesus because they spoke with such conviction. It was evident that they believed what they preached. They believed the doctrines they preached. Without any attempt to conceal or disguise. Remember, they were standing in the midst of enemies. People who had been grieved because Peter had preached Christ and the resurrection. It had grieved them. These men were the enemies of the gospel. But Peter preached, and he preached with boldness, and he preached with conviction, and he preached with great power and authority. Where did that all come from? Came from being with Jesus. And the man spends time with Jesus, the man that dwells with Jesus, is the man who will preach with conviction. He believes what he preaches. They knew about the preaching of the Lord Jesus. They knew about the boldness and the authority with which the Lord preached. And my, when they heard the preaching of Peter and John, they were reminded immediately of the preaching of Christ. My, what a comfort. What a testimony. What a witness. That the preaching of Peter and John reminded their hearers. The way it should be, of course. The preacher of the gospel, his preaching ought to remind his hearers of the Lord Jesus. John 7, verse 26. But lo, he speaketh boldly. This is a description of the preaching of the Lord. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Spoke with boldness. The same boldness that Peter and John exhibited. In Mark 1, verses 21 and 22, we read there about the ministry of the Lord Jesus and how he spoke with great authority. And when they listened to the preaching of Peter and John, they were where did this boldness come from? Where did this uncompromising preaching come from? It came from the time that Peter and John spent with Jesus. And how we need to spend more time with the Lord Jesus. No greater honor could have been bestowed upon Peter and John and for these enemies of the gospel to say. And they saw the boldness of these men. These men must have been with Jesus. What an honor. And we notice their courage. The boldness and courage of these disciples impressed these They were saying, to be so courageous, to show such courage in their ministry and in their preaching, they must have been with Jesus. They must have been under His influence. They must have sat at His school. They must have been at His feet. Believer, being with the Lord Jesus, dwelling with Christ, will give us the courage to go out and face the foe. We'll not be intimidated by the enemies of the gospel. We may be surrounded by the enemies of the gospel, but will not be intimidated by them if we have been with Jesus. Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the more time you spend with a person, the more you become like that person. And Peter and John had been with Jesus. They had spent time with the lion of the tribe of Judah. And lo and behold, they became more and more like Him. They became also as bold as a lion. Nothing fear into their hearts because they had been with Jesus. Have we not admired the courage displayed by the Lord Jesus as we have read about His ministry? Have we not been impressed by the courage the Lord Jesus displayed that day He returned to Nazareth? Consider the courage that the Lord displayed that day. Knowing that the prophet had no honor in his own country, the Lord Jesus went to Nazareth. And when they went into the synagogue, the minister in the synagogue handed them the book, and the Lord Jesus stood up to read. And he started to read from Isaiah 61. And when he had finished reading, he closed the book and then he preached. What was his subject? He preached on a subject that was despised by many, hated by many, and is hated to this very day. He preached the doctrine of election. Oh, it wasn't a popular doctrine. It wasn't a popular message. He knew it wouldn't be popular. But bless God for the courage of Christ. He preached it anyway. Peter and John had been with Jesus. And they demonstrated the same. That's why their hearers took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Look again at the ministry of the Lord. Look again as He faced the religious leaders of His day. Look again at the Lord Jesus as He stood before the Pharisees. Behold His courage. Behold His courage. As He cried, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." That took courage to do that. Watch Him again as He pronounces woe after woe after woe. And declares, "Woe unto you, ye blind leaders of the blind." It took courage to say that. And now when Peter and John speak, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees were immediately reminded of the bold courage of Christ, because what they had seen in the Lord Jesus, they now saw in Peter and John. And they marveled. They marveled at their boldness and at their courage. And let's trace back to the time they had been with Jesus. How we need to be with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. He'll give us more and more courage, and we'll become more and more like Him. Notice also the wonder of the priests. You've looked at the witness of the pair, Peter and John. Now the wonder of the priests. You will notice that it was not so much what they heard that impressed them. It was what they saw. That's what it says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it was what they saw in Peter and John that caused them to marvel. And indeed caused them to take knowledge of Peter and John that they had been with Jesus. What they saw in Peter and John was the courage and conviction that they had seen in Jesus Christ. They had seen Christ. Oh, for a witness like that. Oh, for a ministry like that. Oh, for a life like that. That others will see Jesus in us. That when they look upon us, they'll be reminded of Christ. Notice here, first of all, what they realize. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. What caused the priest to marvel? What caused the captain of the temple and the Sadducees to marvel? They saw in Peter and John a boldness, a conviction, a courage. And it came from unlearned and ignorant men. So it caused them to marvel. How could unlearned and ignorant men speak as they spoke? How could unlearned and ignorant men speak with such boldness? They marveled. And they said, it must be because they have been with Jesus. Unlearned. This word properly denotes those who are not acquainted with letters. It refers to men who could hardly read and write. How the word is used. It refers to individuals who can hardly read nor write. People who have a very poor education, even some who have no education at all. The word ignorant. The word ignorant. The word that we get our English word idiot from. It's the same word. unlearned and idiots. That's what the hearers of Peter and John were saying. These men are idiots. Behold their boldness. They must have been with Jesus. The word ignorant means a very private person, meaning they were just fishermen. They were not recognized as public speakers. They were not recognized as politicians. They were not recognized as men who were out there in the forefront and in the public eye day after day. They were very private men. After all, they were fishermen. They hadn't been to school. They hadn't been to university. They were unlearned. They were ignorant. Were not men readily recognized for their eloquence. They were regarded by the priests and the others to be rude and illiterate individuals when they spoke. They realized unlearned and ignorant men must have been with Jesus. My, this tells us what the Lord is able to do with ignorant and unlearned men. He's able to turn them into instruments in His hand that will turn the world up. That doesn't mean that if we want to serve the Lord and go into the ministry or the mission field that we don't have to go to Bible college. Not at all. That's not an easy way out. Whenever the Lord called Paul, He called a very learned man. But we rejoice that the Lord Jesus often, not always, often calls ignorant and unlearned men to serve Him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. The difference is these men had been with Jesus. That is the difference. And that's what they realized, and was also what they remembered. We're told, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. After the priests had listened to the preaching of Peter and John, they were immediately reminded of the Lord Jesus. The preaching of ministers today, as we've already said, ought to remind their hearers of the Lord Jesus. But it was what they saw in Peter and John was what reminded them of Christ. They had this wonderful testimony that their lives spoke for Christ. John the Baptist had that testimony. John the Baptist lived such a Christ-like life that all who saw him and all who listened to him thought that he was the Messiah. They thought he was the one whom the prophet spoke about and wrote about. The Messiah has come. John was so Christ-like. That's some testimony. And you remember when the Lord Jesus went to that region where John the Baptist had carried out his ministry and had baptized people. My, when they saw the Lord, they remembered the ministry of John. What did they say? They said, John did no miracle, but all things that he spake of this man were true. That's some testimony. There was a Christ-likeness about John that he was even mistaken for the Savior himself. And when he spoke, people were reminded of the Lord Jesus. And people said of John's ministry, everything that he said about Christ, it's all true. Then we notice also what was their reaction. We're told that when they heard the disciples, they marveled. They were filled with wonder. They wondered that men who had not been educated in school, in the school of the rabbis, had not been accustomed to speak, they wondered that these men should declare the word with such boldness. Said these men must have been with Jesus. Filled with wonder. Says they took knowledge. The words there simply mean they knew they had been with Jesus. There's no doubt about it. May the Lord give us that. Good to know where we stand with Christ. And it's good that others know as well where we stand with Christ. They knew that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And finally, we have the work of the person. It was, of course, the work of the Lord Jesus that had made the disciples what they were. Because they had been with Jesus. And while they were with Jesus, the Lord did a work in their hearts. Being with Jesus, these men, common fishermen, rude, uncultivated Galileans, they had been with Jesus and had been turned into firebrands. They'd been with Jesus in the place of prayer. They were in among the inner circle of the disciples. They'd been with the Lord Jesus in special seasons of prayer. Peter had been challenged about being with Jesus. Whenever he was challenged, they said, you're one of his disciples. And they went on to say, we saw you in the garden with him. He had been with Jesus in the garden. Dear child of God, we want to be firebrands for God. We want Christ to be seen in us. We need to spend time with Jesus. Moses had been on the mount 40 days in communion with the Lord. When he came down that mount, his face shone. People knew he had been with Jesus. It was said of Horatius Bonner that when he walked out of the minister's room at the side of the pulpit and mounted the pulpit steps, and when he started to preach, people took note.
said, that man has been with Jesus. They knew he had just come out of the presence of Christ. They had been with him in prayer. They had been with Jesus in prayer. They had been with Jesus along the pathway. For 3 years they had walked with Christ. They had been with him and is going out and coming in. The Lord had said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. They had been yoked to Christ for 3 years and they had learned of Christ. They had been with Jesus along the pathway. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We want to be like Jesus. We need to walk. They've been with Jesus and his preaching. Never man spake like this man. My, what a teacher. No wonder the people, when they heard Peter and John preach, said these. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. They'd been under the best preacher who ever lived. They'd been in the school of Christ. They'd been in the school of the prophet. They knew how to preach. Dear child of God, to be an effective witness for the Lord, we cannot afford not to be with Jesus. We must be with Jesus. And people will take notes, and they'll take knowledge of us. But we have been with Jesus. May we dwell more and more with him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father and our gracious, loving God, as we bow before Thee, we bless Thee and praise Thee. Dear Lord, that we have such a Master, we have such a Savior, who through His very influence is able to change and transform lives. Lord, we pray that as we look to Christ, will be the desire in our hearts to be more and more like him. Be pleased, dear Lord, to write the word on our hearts tonight. And may we meditate upon it in the night watches. Yea, may we meditate upon thy word day and night. Now, Lord, we pray that thou would take us to our homes in safety this evening. We thank thee for being with us, giving us the opportunity, Lord, of being in the Lord's house today. Now, Lord, be with us as we travel. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever, until for all eternity. With Jesus. In his name we pray.